We're going to continue in our series this morning on marriage illusions. And we've been looking at things that conceptually have been told to us that, hey, do this or do that, and it'll strengthen your relationship. But we're kind of learning that that's not exactly accurate. And we're learning from the Word of God, what are some principles that we need that will help us strengthen the relationships that God has given to us. And this morning we're going to talk about the conflict illusion. Now, as I've been studying this week for this lesson, I've been thinking, this is going to be a great lesson for everyone in attendance because this applies to everyone, okay? Everyone in this room has a relationship right now in your life that has conflict in it. Because every relationship we have is a relationship with another human being. And none of us are perfect. And there are always going to be tensions to manage. There's always going to be unmet expectations. There's always going to be stuff that goes along with it. And this is a greatly practical and applicable lesson that will help each and every one of us navigate through those seasons. And the conflict illusion is that marital conflict and life's difficulties are enemies of your marriage. And what we're going to learn this morning is the exact opposite, that really strong couples are not couples that have no problems. Strong couples are couples that have learned how to work through problems, that they've gotten good at managing tensions and working through things, and that is large part due to the strength in which they have. And oftentimes conflict is very difficult to know how to handle. Two men lived in a small village, and they got in a great dispute, and they just couldn't resolve it no matter how hard they tried. So they decided that they would go talk to the chieftain of the tribe. And so the first man went to the chief's home the first night, and he laid out his side of the story and everything as it had unfolded. And the chief listened, and when he finished, the chief looked at him and said, "You are absolutely right." Well, the next night, the second man came, and he too laid out his side of the story and made a passionate plea for how he thought things were. And the chief listened to all of that, and he looked at the second man the second night, and he said, "You are absolutely right." Well, the second man left his house, and the chief's wife looked at him and scolded him and said, "Honey, you heard two different stories from two different men on two different nights, and you told them both they were exactly right. That is impossible. They cannot both be absolutely right." And the chief looked at his wife and he said, "Sweetheart, you are absolutely right." And sometimes that's the way to handle it, is you just kind of tell the person in front of you whatever it is they want to hear, but that's not really going to solve the problem. Now, why do we believe that conflict is so bad for our relationships? Well, self-preservation is an integral component of our human nature. We naturally avoid difficulty and potentially painful situations. We don't like them, and we do whatever we can to steer clear of them. And because of this, we forget that God is able in His wisdom and power to use adversity and conflict to our benefit. Read the Bible. Often at the end of something that was painful or a conflict or whatever is a beautiful story of restoration and God's grace. One of my favorites is the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. We named our son Joseph, and I don't have time to develop it, but he went through so many things, and yet God brought such beauty and grace through that and used him so mightily. And even from Joseph's own perspective in Genesis 50:20, he says, "But as for you," speaking to his brothers, "ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." Why, Joseph? What was God doing to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive? Joseph said, "I see now from this vantage point looking back, while there were trials, while there were troubles, while there were difficulty, God used it for good." The Bible says in Job 23:10, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." God will bring us through those trials and will make us better and stronger. And then Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, probably the most popular verse in the Bible when you're facing a time of difficulty or a struggle. The Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." So God, in His infinite wisdom and grace and power, is able to take all things and make them work for good, even the difficulties in which you and I face. Now, our culture is a culture made up of rivalries. Right now, you've got sports, and there's rivalries happening. Maybe the Yankee and the Red Sox, or maybe it's Coke or Pepsi, whichever one you might like. Maybe it's Republicans or Democrats and all that's happening around us with the upcoming election and so on. And we live in a society where there's much competition and rivalry. But there's a new component in that arena, and that is marriage. Never before in the history of our culture has there been a time where married couples have been so pitted one against the other. In fact, a recent survey from the National Survey of Family Growth estimates that 40 to 50% of all marriages end in divorce, nearly citing that half of all marriages statistically will not make it, that when you enter into this relationship, you have a 50-50 chance. Now, last Sunday night, I got on a plane and flew to Dallas, and we were part of a pastor's conference in Texas Monday and Tuesday and came back early Wednesday morning. If I stood there at the gate preparing to board the plane, and if the attendant came on the intercom system and said, "All right, we're getting ready to board for flight number 1147 heading to Dallas, and we just want you to know as we prepare that we've got a 50-50 chance to make it." I don't know how many people are getting on that plane. I don't know that I'm getting on that plane. If there's a 50-50 chance to make it, I may wait for the next flight, right? And as we enter into this relationship, if it's a 50-50 chance to make it, there's some things we're going to need to learn to do a little better when it comes to resolving conflict and having a strong and sustaining relationship. Now, there are some associated illusions with this conflict illusion. One that says good marriages don't have conflict. Can I tell you something? That's not true. Well, we would have a relationship like so-and-so if we didn't have the problems that we have. Comparing ourselves among ourselves is not what? Wise. It's not wise. Why? Because when you look at somebody else's life and you say, "Well, we'd be doing so much better if we had whatever," you don't even know what you're talking about. You don't know what they have. You have no idea what's going on behind those four walls. You have no idea the burdens they're carrying. And sometimes we get this illusion like the good relationships and the good families and the good marriages are the ones with no problems, but those of us that maybe have had some difficulty, well, that's why we are where we are. That's just not true. All relationships face difficulty as we go through life. Another illusion is that conflict will harm my marriage. That is not true. Some of the strongest couples I know have been to the very bottom and back, and it's incredible the strength and the fortitude that they have because of what they've been through, what they have survived, and what they have endured. And so there's much that can be learned as we navigate through conflict. Here's a thought. When two different people get together, there can either be a duel or a duet, and we decide. And when you think about your relationship, really, your ability to handle life and to navigate through it is your decision. Ed Young Sr. said, "Conflict is an important part of every good marriage. Handled wisely, it can lead to greater intimacy. Handled poorly, it can lead to greater isolation. We cannot choose whether we will have conflict or not, only how we will deal with it." And so this is something that everybody in this room is going to deal with, which is why I kind of like it. You say, "Gabe, you're weird. You like talking about conflict resolution or whatever." Because I just know from my side of the desk that what we're talking about this morning applies to everyone in this room. And the beauty of talking about it in a setting like this, nobody has to admit they need it. They can just enjoy it and benefit from it. But it is indeed for everyone in this room. Because human relationships are going to have conflict. And we must decide how are we going to deal with that conflict. And that's what I want to look at in three categories this morning. Number one, dealing with the conflict around you, okay? The conflict that is around you, how do you deal with that? And my challenge to you would be to choose to grow closer. What am I talking about here? Your schedules, your jobs, your finances, the pressures of life, your health. Relatives, we got Thanksgiving and Christmas. Some of you are dreading those days because it comes with extended family time, and you know what that means. And so maybe there's some pressures around you that loom, and you're wondering how you're going to navigate that. Well, the Bible says in James 1, "My brother, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." So I'm going to face some things that are going to cause some challenges to me. What do I do in that way? Well, the Lord wants to work in us some patience and help us. Dennis Rainey said this, "Most couples don't realize that trials represent opportunities for them to sink the roots deeper and gain stability in the relationship. Dr. Goetsch said, trouble is nothing more than an opportunity in work clothes. So when we face a trial, when we face a difficulty, when we face a season in which we would not anticipate or choose, it's an opportunity for us for growth in our relationship. So what do we do with the conflict that's around us? A couple thoughts, letter A. Seek unity with your spouse. When it comes to anything that is posing conflict around you, make sure there's unity amongst you. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth. By the way, that's why tonight at a fellowship is so important. Man, Brother Rule, I had a hard time and nobody knew and nobody cared. Then go to a fellowship tonight and be friendly. For a man to have friends, he must show himself friendly, right? And so tonight's a great opportunity for that. That's a side note. That's a rabbit trail. That's a plug for tonight at 5 o'clock, and I hope you'll be there. But when we're talking about marriage relationships, the same is true, that we want to be there one for the other in unity as conflict poses around us. Now, sticking together when surrounded by conflict, a couple thoughts, and you may have these in your notes so we can go quickly. Pray together. Pray together as a husband and wife when there's conflict around you. Encourage one another. Be there to lift one another up and edify. Talk together. When there's things around that are posing difficulty, talk through that as a husband and wife and be willing to dig into some of that. Strategize together as to how you're going to get through it and get around it in victory. Refuse to blame one another. Remember this when it comes to relational conflict. Your spouse is not the enemy. Okay? When there's things going on around you that potentially could divide you, seek a conversation and an understanding that will help, but refuse to blame one another. Understand the spouse is not the problem or the enemy. Something you're facing is. Now, letter B, what else can we do with this conflict around us? Seek the perspective of God. The Bible says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. You mean God's going to know that I'm going to have tough days and he's going to let me have them and then just be there to comfort me? Exactly. I thought if you knew God and like walked with God, the bad days were gone. Wrong. I don't understand that. I thought that's what a relationship with God was all about. Wrong. It rains on the just and the unjust. What testimony is it is to the unsaved if we never face difficulty? How much more powerful is it that you and I can face the same difficulty that the unsaved face, but we do it with God's grace? Does that not point to something we have they don't? Amen. When you and I can face the same difficulties that our counterparts who do not know Jesus face, but we can do it with the peace that passeth all understanding, with a strength that is mysterious, with a joy that is seamlessly never ending, does it not make people look and say, what does that person have that I don't have? And it's not a monster drink or an exercise routine or a blend of coffee. It's Jesus. And that's what the world needs to see in you and me. And so, yes, God is going to allow us to face some trials and some troubles and some difficulties. Good night. We talked about a dad passing and an auto accident and a stroke and Tanisha on a hospital bed in UCLA right now. There's all kinds of needs just from this family right here. Why would God allow all of that? I believe because as Rigo and Claudia go tomorrow to a viewing in Colton, California at 2 o'clock with primarily many unsafe family, that they're going to see something different in this young couple. And they're going to say, we need what they have. And God's going to allow those things so that he can be seen through us. So we have to understand God's perspective when it comes to these trials around us and then unify together. The Bible says regarding conflict that God is good and wise, that we are to give thanks to the Lord in everything, that God is able to bring good out of evil. He's a master at doing that. That God uses difficulty to develop our character and to advance his kingdom and to correct erring children. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, Faith is the refusal to panic. And so are we going to face conflict around us? Yes, we are. What do? We unify and we understand God has a purpose in this. Let's trust Him. Let's let Him work. But secondly, how do we deal with the conflict between us? You say, well, we don't have any conflict between us. Great. Take a nap. We'll wake you up at point three. All right? But for everyone else in the room, dealing with conflict between you, and I would encourage you here to grow stronger together. You say, well, what would divide us? Maybe it's the way he drives. Maybe it's an unmet expectation. Maybe it's the amount she spends. Maybe it's a behavior or a manner. Maybe it's a preference. Maybe it's the way the children are spoken to or corrected. Maybe it's about your role in the home. Maybe it's about who does what chore. Whatever. I could go on, and we could find something, I suppose, that may be a touching point for any couple in the room. What do you deal with this conflict between us? Dennis Rainey said, conflict often starts with something small, even consequential. The little things left unresolved can rob a marriage of romance and result in bitterness, anger, and loneliness. Every marriage has its tensions. And the issue isn't how to avoid them, but how to cope with them. So every marriage is going to face these moments of tension. What do you do? Letter A, seek to understand. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. There's three dimensions of marital understanding. You've got to understand God's perspective. We talked about that. You've got to understand your spouse. We dealt with that last week. And then you must understand yourself. And so you've got to seek to understand. If something's coming in between you, why? Why is that becoming an issue? What about it maybe bothers your spouse? Then letter B, engage in communication. Let's talk about this and let's figure it out. Speaking the truth in love. Ed Young Sr. said the opposite of love is not hate, it's apathy. What does that mean? It's not the opposite of love is not hate in the sense of hating our spouse, but it's apathy, which is what? Which is acting like we don't care. There's something wrong. We know there's something wrong, but we're not doing anything about it. That's an apathetic approach. That's an approach that communicates, I don't care. That should not exist in the homes of the His Design class. So what are some ground rules for communicating during a disagreement? Do you all have these in the notes? Yes, okay, we can go fast. Focus on one issue, not on many issues. Ladies, we cannot handle more than one thing at a time. Okay, you can. You've got the capacity. You could solve the world's problems in one afternoon, all right? Give it to us one at a time, all right? I've got three daughters and a wife, and I oftentimes in my home would be like, stop! One thing at a time. We can fix them, but you got to help me out here, all right? I've got a very simple brain. Focus on the problem, not the person. Focus on the actions causing the problem, not the person's character. Be careful in a relational discussion when it feels like you're attacking one another. You're not going to gain a lot of ground. Focus on using I statements and not you statements. Never say always and never. Focus on observations about facts, not on judgments of motives. Focus on mutual understanding, not on who's winning or losing. So engage in conversation and be careful how you're doing it. Letter C, make use of confession and forgiveness. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh him shall have mercy. Friend, in a winning, strong, thriving, sustaining marriage relationship, you know we're going to hear from time to time, honey, I'm sorry. Hey, babe, that's fine, I forgive you. Make use of confession and forgiveness. It's part of relating with one another. Letter D, follow a few sensible rules of engagement. When something has come to the point of conflict or tension between you, know how to handle that. The Bible gives clear instruction in Ephesians 4, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is the good to use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be a kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So there's some rules for engagement you want to remember when there's to work out this conflict. And let me give you some here. Don't react inappropriately. It's the old adage of you don't have to swat the fly with a sledgehammer. Don't react inappropriately, okay? Be measured. Don't be hurtful. You're trying to bring restoration. Don't go public. There's no reason to air out the dirty laundry. If Suzanne and I are having a disagreement, what good do I accomplish by telling Facebook? You want to know what she did to me this morning? And then just rant about it for a while. I suppose when she sees that, she's really going to know I love her. And when I get home, she's probably going to be really excited to talk with me and to resolve it. And I suppose as a result of that, we will be closer than we've ever been before. Because we have been transparent. No, I've been stupid. That's what that is. Okay? Don't go public. Now, am I talking about covering sin or abuse or whatever? Of course not. And there's people we can talk to. There's spiritual mentors and helps. But I'm just talking about when there's conflict in between, work it out right there in the relationship. Have each other's backs. Don't make threats. Don't shut down. Don't drudge up the past. Don't resign to failure. Friend, not one relationship in this room has to fail. The just man falls seven times, yet riseth up again. Everybody in here can know victory with God's help. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And don't allow the anger to fester. Figure it out. When conflict arises between you, you'll find a way. A certain man hated shopping as much as most guys do, but his wife loved to shop. And that was just one of her things. And so they had to figure out a way to do it. Finally, they did. He would drive her to the mall. He would drop her off. He would go find a parking spot. He would hang a sign in the window. He would put the seat back, and he would go to sleep. And the sign read, "No, I am not dead. I'm just taking a nap waiting for my wife." And that was their solution. That's how they did it. And they figured it out. You're going to have to figure it out as well. Then thirdly, as we close, dealing with the conflict behind you. What about, Gabe, our past? Maybe something we've been through successfully or unsuccessfully. Maybe something we've been through together or before we met. How do we handle that? Well, the Bible says in Romans 5, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." So there's some hope that can come from this conflict, even that we've dealt with in the past. How can we grow stronger as a result of that? Let me give you some thoughts as we close. Letter A, past conflict strengthens our faith in God. The Bible says in Lamentations, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because of His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." Friend, whatever you have faced in the past, whatever you have been through in the past, individually or as a couple, God is faithful. Nothing about your past surprises God, and God loves you. Nothing about your past is unknown to God, and God is still here with you today. He's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. And sometimes when we think about the past or the conflict behind us and the things that we have faced or gone through, it strengthens our faith in God, that God is still there. But letter B, past conflict allows us to assess patterns and discuss prevention. Now, friend, if there's something that constantly is coming up between you and your spouse, and it develops into a pattern, and every time this happens or this topic arises or whatever, then boom, open the floodgates and here it comes. Then wisdom says, okay, let's assess. We've got a problem here, and let's learn how to fix it. We need to be careful about our behavior or our speech or whatever the case may be. Understanding from and learning from past conflict helps us to assess and be drawn to patterns and then to discuss the prevention. Letter C, past conflict builds wisdom and offers perspective. Now, some in this room have been married for a little while already. Have you ever seen a young couple talking about something or trying to figure something out, and in the back of your mind just kind of, there's a grin there because you know where that's going? Why? Because past conflict gives you wisdom. You've been down that road. You know where it goes. And sometimes we look at our past and we say, well, it's checkered and it's not perfect and it could be this and it could be that. Friend, every opportunity there was to gain wisdom. Let's not be so down on ourselves for the past mistakes. Let's learn from them. Let's be wiser for them. Let's be stronger moving forward as a result of them. And instead of consistently bringing down the relationship because there is a past, let's take it to the next level despite what we've been through, but because we've learned from it, the wisdom and the perspective that comes. Letter D, past conflict teaches us from our own mistakes. The Bible says, let a man examine himself. None of us are perfect. And sometimes we look back on something that's come up in a relationship and we think, man, I sure could have handled that better. I could have reacted better. I could have said something better. And if we're willing to look at some things in the past that have troubled us, we can learn about ourselves. We can make some adjustments to be a better husband or a better wife. Letter E, past conflict helps me to learn how to interact with my spouse. God challenges, dwell with them according to knowledge. And sometimes something that I didn't anticipate would cause an issue does. Well, learn from that and grow in your ability to be the spouse that God wants you to be and to be the spouse that your spouse needs you to be. And then letter F, past conflict reinforces our marriage vows. Friend, there's some couples in our class that have been through some tough times, some hard knocks, and some dark days. But can I just encourage you, those in this room that are here, you're here. You're still in it. You're still going forward and investing in your relationship. And sometimes when we look at past conflict, you know what it does? It just reinforces the fact that we're together and nothing is going to change that. The Bible says in Matthew, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What God therefore had joined together, let no man put asunder. When we recognize God has brought us together, it's not been perfect. There's been trials. There's been difficulties. But we've made it. And we can continue drawing closer to the Lord. We can continue growing in our marriage. We can continue navigating through conflict and tension because that's a part of life. But we can pause at this moment and say, God, thank you for being faithful to us. And thank you for us still being here, being faithful one to another. And may we recognize whether it's around us, between us, or behind us, conflict is a part of life. It's not going to elude one single person in this room. So the choice is not, are we going to have to deal with it or not? You are. The choice is how. And let's take some of these biblical principles and ask God to help us deal with conflict in a way that makes us better. Every one of us will fail in life, in marriage, and in relationships. But with God's help, let's fail forward and let's grow as a result of it. And the Lord will bless and use it. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for an opportunity to gather together this morning and to learn. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we think about our relationships to understand conflict is a part of life. There's no perfect relationship. There's going to be problems in every relationship. But how we handle those greatly determines the strength and sustainability of the relationships that you've given to us. So, Lord, would you help us today to grow stronger and smarter as a result of what it is we're facing? May we apply the principles of your word, and may we rest in your faithfulness, and may we determine to be faithful to our spouse. Lord, I pray that you bless our fellowships tonight, that we just have a wonderful time together in each home. And then, Lord, I think of these families in our class that are hurting. Lord, would you help us to love them, to pray for them, and to be an encouragement to them? And I pray that they would sense your presence and our love. Bless now our class, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.